Either for me or against me. Truth. There's no gray area, is there? And so they're simple in concept, but we need the Holy Spirit to help us, don't we? Because without it, we're kind of dead in the water. In fact, our son, you know, Craig, he's been here before. He's been in Spain for 25 years. And years ago after this, he says, Mom and Dad, I think this is the essence of the Christian walk. Learning to walk in the Spirit and not in our flesh. So, Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. Father, our hearts are to fall more in love with you, to be closer to you, to hear your voice more clearly. And, Father, we want to be the men of God that you want us to be. Yes. Thank you, Father, for being our teacher here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as Carl mentioned last week, God is into relationship, isn't he? He wants to commune with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to hear his voice. Of course, he wants to hear our voice too, but he wants us to listen. And we know that's been his intent from the beginning. And of course, Adam and Eve followed it up for all of us. So Jesus came to try to lead us back. Familiar verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Everybody knows that. Some people call it God's phone number. What's he say? He says, call to us, and I'll tell you unsearchable things you do not know. And that word call in Hebrew is kara, probably mispronouncing, Q-A-R-A. It's got a strong emphasis to it. It means to cry out, to call to someone, to try to get their attention, in particular, especially with God. So God is saying, hey, you don't have to be timid. We can call out to him. He wants that relationship, desires that relationship. And of course, we know that even before we were born again, the Holy Spirit was chasing us, right? I'm sure all of us can look back, and it's either our grandmother or a friend or somebody. I can remember years ago when I was in graduate school, and I was far from him. In fact, I thought I was an agnostic, but Jesus says, no, you're an atheist. So anyway, there's a scripture that says we're going to stand before God and have to answer for all of our idle words. I don't know too about you, but I've got a pretty long list of embarrassing words that I'm going to have to. So her Annie Verge came down to see us. Dear lady, love the Lord. And I remember standing in the kitchen of our apartment. It's just as if it was yesterday. And she says, Dick, what do you want to be what's your goal in life? Well, I was studying in science. So I said, well, I want to be a really good research scientist. And she asked me that question about three different times. Just went right over my head. I had no idea what she was talking about. Sad, isn't it? I mean, the Holy Spirit had sent her to try to wake me up, and I just missed the boat. But we're all excited. We all know that when we do accept the Lord, who comes to live within us? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, right? So we have this the person of God living within us. I think it's mind-boggling. Comes to live within our spirit, and the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, right? So that's where we've got to get connected. So our job then is to learn to recognize his voice and then to obey. For example, right here, well, how do we get closer to God? Spend time, right? If we were to have everybody here this morning close their eyes, and then once in a while we'd have people speak out, say Mick speaks out. Or that way, I recognize that voice. Same thing with the Lord, right? Enough time in the prayer and worship and praise him just to get that kind of relationship. So it's the same thing with our Lord. So our goal is to fine-tune our spirit so they recognize God when he calls. And I don't know about you, but I still struggle with that. How many times something happens, maybe I should have done something. No, I'm too busy. I'll ignore that. Probably just my flesh. And you later shot. God has set you up for something, and we missed the boat. And we have an entire 12-lesson course on hearing God's voice. We're not going to go into that, so we'll just look a little bit this morning. But again, let's try to understand about ourselves, because the Spirit sounds kind of different, doesn't it? If I look out here, I see Mick. I see his body. That's who he is. When he talks, I understand a little bit about him. His spirit, I can't see. Where's his spirit? So we're created in God's image, aren't we? And God's a three-part being. So it makes sense we're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You know, Paul was having a fun time talking to the Thessalonians. You notice when he gets to the end of this chapter, it's interesting how he talks in a series of very staccato, direct things. Be joyful always. Okay. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Ooh. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And then he kind of gives a little doxology. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless in the coming of our Lord. And we look out, we get in the habit of, I see Mick's body, I see Ed's body. But what God is saying, who are we? We're spirit. In fact, a guy named Charles Solomon years ago said in a little book, he said, we might say that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. It's just the reverse of what we think, right? So the real person who we really are, who we want to be, is our spiritual side. Let's look at a few words just to put things together. Spirit is pneuma. You're probably familiar with that. That's the name. It's the Greek word in the scripture, pneuma. It means breath. It's the very essence of who we are. John 4:24. What's that say? God is spirit. We're to worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, so we got to worship him in spirit. So I don't know about you, many of you guys are engineers, you're scientists. What's the spirit? I can't see it, touch it, feel it. I can't write it down. It's a different realm. But it's the spirit. We want to be walking in the spirit. Psuche is our soul. That's who we are apart from Christ, isn't it? Because apart from Christ, what do? We did whatever we thought was right, what we feel like was right. I don't know about you, but it tends to get us in a bit of trouble, doesn't it? Who is promoted when we're walking in the soul? Who is most important? Moi, right? It's all about me, right? Self-awareness, self-esteem, self-pity. I mean, psychology is all grown out of it, isn't it? Psychology tries to play with our mind, will, and emotions. Okay, goes part way, but we need to be the spirit. So now we're born again. What happens? Now the soul has competition. Before, we did whatever we thought was right, right? Whatever our background is, whatever our feeding at that particular moment. So now we have this competition. God is living in our spirit, enriched our spirit, and we have this constant battle. Who do we walk with? Who do we believe? I don't know about you, but it's not always easy, is it? But a word that might help us, just look at the word heart. And we'll see what it says. Erdman's Bible Dictionary says it this way. It's the core of an individual. This term can indicate a person's mind, will, and emotions. It's their soul. But the heart is also said to motivate and drive the mind, will, and emotions. The redeemed heart is the dwelling place of Christ. So one can say that the heart contains both the spirit and the soul. And if you notice in scripture, it's used interchangeably. Sometimes we talk about the heart as the soulish realm. Other times it's the spiritual realm. If we look at Ezekiel 36, 26, that's a familiar scripture. Everybody says, no, not really. Well, Ezekiel has been chastising the Israeli nation, right? Through God. God's been chastising. So he finally gets to the point in 36, 26. Love this. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So what is he talking about? He's certainly not talking about this heart, is he? It's not a physical operation. He's doing a spiritual operation. And that's what he wants to do on each of us, right? I want to give you a heart of flesh that I can pliable, responsive to me. So we would say that the heart, where's the heart? Well, probably have a lot of feeling. We tend to feel this is in this center of the body is down here. That Jesus many times was said he was troubled in his spirit, in his bowels. In fact, when Jenny ministers, and I think I'm a little biased, I think my wife is a powerful minister. when she ministers, a lot of times she'll come up to somebody and say, "May I put my hand down here?" Particularly for women. If it's men, she'll have me come up, put my hand, and put her hand. But she can feel things. And Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, stir up the gifts within you. And when Jenny prays over people, she can feel, sense what's going on. And many times she can feel heat. Maybe some of you guys have experienced it. Just God is so fun. She'll feel heat and ask the person, say, "Can you feel that?" Jenny will say, "No, I don't feel anything." So she'll get somebody else to come up. Say, "Mick, why don't you come up, put your hand right here? Can you feel it?" Say, "Yeah, it's really hot." So this is the heart where the spirit and the soul are together. Another verse is 6:45, Luke 6:45. This is a verse that I would just assume that God did not put in here. The good man brings good out of the things stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I don't know if there's a bigger out scripture. Maybe it's just me, but my mouth gets me in more problems than ever. And out of the abundance of my heart, I say, "Gosh, Lord, is that where my heart is?" We would offer, that's that shifting between the spirit and the soul. If the heart is the dwelling place of both the spirit and the soul, we can shift back and forth so easily, so incredibly easily. How many of you are skiers? Yeah. There's nothing prettier than watching a really good skier come down the hill. What are they doing? They're shifting their weight just imperceptibly. I don't know about you, but it's a great analogy of how easy it is to be in the spirit one minute and the next second, you lost it. So what happened? Just shifted my weight, shifted my thinking, shifted my where I am. I'm sure we can all think of analogies. Ever been driving down on a day like, not today, sun is not shining. You're driving along and you've got a worship music playing and you're just lost. Just worshiping along. And what happens? A car cuts you off. "Ah, you jerk." "Wait a minute, what happened? How could we be in the spirit one minute?" And it's just that easy, we would offer. It's just so easy to shift. How about, probably this doesn't happen to you guys, but once in a while you make a little biting comment to your wife. I'm sure that doesn't happen to anybody else here, but what's happened? And after you say it, where'd that come from? I lost it. So it's a constant, I wouldn't say battle, but it's a constant awareness to, am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in just my soul? And there's so many places in scripture where we see this. Paul's writing to us in Galatians. And he's talking about, hey, we're free. You're called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And then he goes on in verse 16. And I'm very familiar. So I say, this is Paul speaking, live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature, our soulish realm, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. I hope we can all relate to that. But we're being challenged, walking that way. We're reading, it's kind of fun to read through the Bible. So we read Old Testament, New Testament. Each day, just for fun, great contrast. I was reading Joshua. Joshua took over for Moses. Came in, and what happened? They took Jericho, bingo, just like God said. I had a little problem. So we came back, cleaned it up, took Ai. So the guys were feeling pretty good. So the Gibeonites come in. What would they do? And they came in this great act. Our wineskins are, we come for such a long ways. The wineskins have turned hard. The bread is stale, but we really feel like we're to come. And so what did the guys do? Hey, sounds good. And what happened afterwards? It says, they did not bother to ask the Lord, but went ahead. I just think, what a challenge. How many times do we make a decision? It sounds good, looks good, tastes good, and so we do it. And we say, wait a minute, I didn't ask you, Lord, did I? I thought it was good. I thought it was a good thing to do. But take heart. We're not the only ones that make these mistakes. How about our Lord Jesus? So wait a minute. Talk about our Lord. Matthew 26, 36. I love this. The Garden of Gethsemane. After he's 33 years on the earth here. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, right? If you've got your Bibles, I think this is fascinating. Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here, I'm going to go over there and pray. So he took Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Wait a minute, this is the Messiah. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Now, wait a minute. This is our Messiah. This is part of the Godhead. Why did he come to earth? He came to earth, live a sinful life, sinless life, go to the cross, shed his blood for you and me, and then go back to be with the Father. He said, wait a minute, this is the culmination of all of his time here. He says, he's troubled my soul. And I thought, wow, this is God. 100% man, 100% God. And what's he doing? He's revealing again his humanity to us, isn't he? Man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be physically scourged and beaten, insulted. And then worst of all, I'm going to take all the sin of the world. Why do I want to do that? And I'm going to be separated from my Father because he can't look on sin. So I'm troubled. Stay here and keep watch with me. And then what happens? Going a little further, fell to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Again, still in the soul, right? God, I don't want to do this. This is a bummer. Please. So return to his disciples. And of course, they were what we never do. He says, couldn't you watch with me for even an hour? Then he makes this statement at the end of verse 41, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And don't we know that? I don't know about you. That's a challenge every single day. Why do I goof up so much? Came back again, found them sleeping. So he left them, went away once more and prayed a third time. And this is so incredible. Then he returned to his disciples, said to them, are you still sleeping? Okay, look. The hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayers. I mean, what a difference, right? One thing, he was showing his humanity, and his soul was troubled, and he finally, okay, Lord, here's where I belong. This is what I should be doing, and I want to just get on with it. Fun, I don't know about you. Hebrews 4:15, we all know that. What's it say? The words were not, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And here he demonstrated that to us, didn't he? But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. It's not by you, but I think that's comforting. Even our Lord showed us what happens, what he can do. Who else is, we can go through scripture and find time after time. I think when man was walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. And just, oh, criminy. How about our brother Paul? Here's a guy that evangelized almost all the known world at the time. Wrote many treatises, which later turned out, as you know, to be a major part of what we call the New Testament. And yet at the end of his life, what did he say? In Romans 7, verse 24, what a wretched man I am. I don't know about you, but that's you're a wretched man? Where does that put me? Where does that put us? And why was he saying that? Because earlier he said in verse 14, Romans 7, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Anybody relate to that? Then he says it again in verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. I think it's quite funny that throughout Scripture, are we ever called adults? He always calls us the children of God. Okay. What is he saying? Well, what do we do with our children? We're teaching them, and they make mistakes, and come back around again. We love them. Raising children is a gas, right? In the big picture, everyone's why you want to just wring their necks. And what's God thinking? He created us to follow him, gave us everything we need. His Holy Spirit's living within us. Come on, guys. Can't you get it together? Can't you be more consistent? But anyway, I just, when I was asked to bring stuff, I thought of that. This is, I guess, where I see myself in this all the time. Am I walking in the spirit? Or am I walking in the flesh? How do we treat my wife, the person that's closest to us? Little reality check. We're coming up on our 60th wedding anniversary. We're going to get away for a week next week. We're going to go to Florida and just sit in the sun for a week. Just really reflecting that, I don't know about you guys, but I look at my wife and say, gosh, honey, why did I deserve you? How many times have I blown it? But fortunately, anybody else relate to that? What? We all married up. Yes, praise God for that. So I'm ending a little bit early here, but let's just close in prayer. Father, we come to you again in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for you. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for the undeserved grace that we receive. But Father, we know that where we're supposed to, where we're headed, we know what you want us to be. Father, we do want to hear your voice more clearly so that we can respond in a positive way. Help us, Lord. Because overall, we want to be the men of God. We don't want to be chasing the world. We want to be the men that you want us to be, Father. And we just pray that, I think I can speak for all of us, Father, even this morning, we just say once again, Lord, we want to be the men. Help us, Lord. Help us to see when we're walking in the spirit or when we're walking in our flesh, our own selfishness. But Father, in all this, we give you praise because your grace is so, so wonderful that you always come back and help us when we stumbled or fallen. Thank you for each of these men, Lord. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.